This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
K-Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Talk to me, baby. Hey. One more time for the Monday. Come on, man. Ain't nobody feeling good. They took an hour of sleep from us. Got a stupid-ass 7:30 start tonight.
Well, that's not the worst thing in the world.
I ain't going to see the end of that game, man. I swear to God, I'm going to be asleep.
What does the 30 minutes do?
Yeah, I might be asleep before tip-off. You got your boy outside. Your boy walked in the house at 1:59 on Saturday night, Sunday morning.
That boy was outside.
And watched that clock switch.
What was that like for you, though?
To 3 a.m. Awful.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say.
It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. It was, oh, my, it's 3 a.m. Because it doesn't matter what time I go to bed. Sprout wants to eat. So, sure enough, a couple hours later, like, there we go.
Got to get up. Got to get up. Get after it.
We went to the, man, we had a time on Saturday.
I hear you.
That concert was ass.
What do you mean?
The concert was terrible.
What?
That Mary J. Blige concert was not good.
What?
It was a karaoke night. She ain't even sing.
No, she was singing.
She barely sang. I believe she was singing.
No, I mean.
She sang.
She had her moments where she was singing.
I thought that show was whack. I'm going to have fun. But I'm like, we got up to go to the bathroom, and it was like, we can meet the crew at the roost at 10:45. Let's just leave.
Was that in the middle of her set?
No, what was she performing?
Because she got done at about she got done about 11, so it wouldn't be the middle. So
it was 11 that she got done. Oh, then we left
like,
right before it ended. I think when we were headed for the door, No More Drama was on. I think that's what was on.
Yeah, that was like the last.
Oh, okay, yeah, we didn't miss nothing.
The one thing that I didn't like about Mary's set was she would sing two verses of the like new stuff,
yeah,
random songs,
mm-hmm,
and the hits. She just speed right through them. I'm like, don't want to. And I like the song, so I'm just using an example. I don't need two verses of Good Morning Gorgeous.
Yeah,
okay? Give me two verses of Love You, I Can Love You Better.
She was also doing remixes of songs too. It was like, I don't want the remix to Love Without a Limit.
Yeah.
Sing the one from, I don't want the What's the 411 remix album. Like, sing this. I started getting it. She was mad at the sound guy, like off jump.
She was pissed off at the sound guy. Yeah.
She and then she started singing to him, and I just catch her looking at him, and I think she boycotted the rest of the show. Like, the hell with y'all hoes. She would have rather been anywhere in the world than in Sacramento, California on Saturday night. But your boy been trying to play catch up ever since. We welcome you in here to the Monday, March 10th edition of Dealing with KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
The worst slums of Sacramento. And man, it feels like it after that loss last night. That sucked. That was absolutely brutal. You talk about daylight. Say, it felt like that game went on for 7 hours. It was just mind-boggling to me that that game was on like at 9 o'clock or whatever it was. And it all would have been worth it if Kawhi Leonard's shot just rolled off the rim.
Oh, man.
But it didn't. In familiar Kawhi Leonard ways, that ball sat up on the rim for about 47 minutes and dropped. Buzzer goes off. Kings lose by one. And now we're just left to talk about the rest of the week and hope it can go Sacramento's way and they can keep pace with everything that's going on in the conference around them.
That was absolutely brutal. That was a gut punch. That is one that I'm not sure when you get over that one. They got in a game tonight, so they better, obviously. But that was, that was tough.
You afraid they won't?
That was as tough as it
gets. You afraid this is the DeMar fumble at the goal line play?
Yeah, it's a possibility. Now, when I say that, I don't want to say ever get over it, because I think you move past it. But that might be one where you might have a 0-3 week. Ooh. You might have a 1-2 week.
You probably don't come back from that. In terms of six.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of six, you probably don't come back from
that. I think you're good at nine. You know what I'm saying? I think you're good there. So
you might have been right about Dallas. Them hoes might not win another game, man. I want to feel bad for them. I don't, for the record. Not.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
The number was set at 5.5 for the rest of the season as far as wins they could get. Have they even reached like 2?
No,
I don't think they've won. Have they won at all?
So
no, I think they've lost 5 in a row.
I took the less on that one.
I don't think they've won since that D'Lo and Casey line was put out.
Shout out Nico Harrison.
Hey, yeah, you said 5-8. Yeah, they really might not make it.
Yeah,
and AD
might not ever play a game again in the Mavericks uniform.
Yeah.
That was brutal last night.
Where did Carmelo once get traded to? Was it like
the Hawks?
The Hawks.
I was about to say, I think it was Atlanta.
More epic, Carmelo's run with the Hawks or AD's run with Dallas if he gets traded?
AD's run with Dallas because
he at least played.
Yeah. Or what about your boy Rasheed Wallace? Went to the Hawks, 4-game, played, and then was traded to Detroit and won a championship.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
He played 1 game with the Hawks. This was all Mello, in the season.
Mello was never meant to be in Atlanta. No. They were a facilitator. Probably similar to Rasheed Wallace. He probably wasn't going to stay. Anthony Davis was supposed to stay. If he winds up getting traded, this is
Anthony
incredible.
Davis was supposed to lead you to the finals.
Right.
Man. Wow.
Man. Anyway.
Wow.
Lose Dallas, lose.
I'm not one. Oh, feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. I have empathy. I understand how brutal it is, but
the D in Big D stands for despair. Good morning.
Yes, they're down and out, and I hope they burn in hell.
Well. So I guess at worst we got 9.
You got that. But this was tough. This was so tough. I was trying to think about it, and maybe in a chat, and people can call in, and they could, give some answers to this. This might be the worst loss in the 3-year period since Beam Team won.
The worst loss?
Like, just devastating. Like, the only other one that I thought about, obviously Game 7 because you lost it, but Game 4 was heartbreaking. Game 4 was.
Oh yeah, now you can't compare these to the playoff losses.
I think it's 2.
Was it that bad?
Yeah, it can't. Nah, but we don't even know the result of this. You come back and you beat New York in Golden State. The loss isn't even that big of a deal.
Sure, things change. But today, this is heartbreaking. That loss last night, give me another Milwaukee loss. That was tough. That's a good call. But I don't know if it's as tough as this one. But that was tough. I forgot about
you missed free throws. You had that game. Like, you had a seven. This is tough. You had a 7-point lead with, you know, 108 seconds left or something like that.
Yeah.
You couldn't score again. One of the most incredible overturned calls I think I've ever seen in the league. The DeMar DeRozan foul on the three. Right. That would have ended the game. Like, DeMar hits those free throws. Game's over.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I
hear you.
So, look, I want to go there for a quick.
I mean, hell, the Denver game cost Mike Brown his job, probably.
Detroit was brutal. Yeah, Detroit was brutal.
No. Denver. I'm talking about the fumble pass. Detroit definitely cost Mike Brown his job. Denver might have. That five-game losing streak was bookended by those two losses.
You're right.
A lot of hyperbole going on here.
Last night was tough. No, it sucked. Those two games, though, and we're just talking about the
De'Aaron Fox got traded because of the Detroit game.
He did, but you missed the buzzer beater. You didn't have a buzzer beater hit on you while you were winning. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying
I hear you,
but you're like, we got the win, and then
you fouled on a 3-point shot.
Yeah,
made 3-point shot.
And as much as a miracle as it was, you had a little bit of time to digest that. You had a shot afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
This one was, you're about to win. They got him bottled up. Left-handed hook, nah. Bucket.
Mm.
Just the deflation.
I was with you. I was down one. I was really surprised they took the clock down like that. Mm. Normally, it's get a shot up, ball comes off, you can extend the game if you have to,
right,
or you give yourself a second opportunity. Kawhi was just like, no, ain't going to do that. And I wonder if there's Kawhi just said no.
No, we're just going to take this down to the buzzer. We're going to win.
Kawhi, who was like ass yesterday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, couldn't do anything. Couldn't hit anything. Great job by Keegan Murray defending him.
Really good.
All night long. And even on the last
even
play,
on the,
he did,
yeah,
he did a good job.
Yeah.
Kawhi had there was a little subtle spin. I don't even know what you call this move, but he spins to change directions and then a little drop step to get the angle on Keegan, and it was a great move by him. Got enough of an angle to create a step back situation for a separation, and was able to hit that over three guys. That was just tough. You mentioned it, and we could talk about it some more. You know how I don't like to blame the refs and all this other stuff. It's not my bag. I'm finding it real hard and real difficult not to blame them for that 3-point shot, that overturn. That is, to miss that is one thing. To overturn the call on the floor.
So they don't. So you're talking about officials in general,
yeah?
Because the crew didn't overturn the call, right? The replay center does.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not. I'm even a little unsure on that one, because it's like, are the refs?
They're communicating with people at the replay center, I assume.
But so here's the thing. The replay center, if the replay center says that was a foul, or excuse me, that wasn't a foul, like, oh, we see evidence where that wasn't a foul, and the refs were like, no, I think it was.
Well, what are you sitting over there with the headphones on?
I'm
asking, yeah.
No, I literally don't know.
Bitch, who are you talking to?
I have no idea. Because I was about to ask, like, if the replay center says that's a foul, but the refs say, I think that was contact that messed up the shot. Who's in control?
Well, I assume the replay center is, because
the hell are the refs doing on the floor? The replay center can just call every foul at that point. Make every call. Because if they're seeing something in the replay center and the refs are like, no, I see something different.
Well, how do you
call
that on the floor then?
Huh?
How do you call the foul on the floor?
Just ring a bell.
Oh.
Because that's what I'm saying. If the replay center
piped into the arena, foul.
And
the guy gets on the microphone, foul.
If the replay center has final say, then what the hell are the refs doing on the floor?
I don't know, but I swear to God, and I know you're listening.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Listening, stop screaming Yahtzee. For the love of everything, I love you. You are our brother. You have to stop that immediately.
Yahtzee!
Stop it. This is done out of love. Stop it. We'll come back.
Man.
We'll come back. I don't know, man. There's, you know what sucks is your boy is balling too. That was the killer. Your boy is balling. We'll talk about Zach LaVine, Keegan Murray as well. We'll get back to Friday night's game at the Golden One Center against the San Antonio Spurs. Hey, rookie looked like an NBA player this weekend. He looked like a nice little NBA player yesterday. So we've got a lot to talk about. In regards to the Sacramento Kings, we'll open up the phone lines for you as well. If you want to hang out, 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. 916-909-1320. You want to get in here and hang out with D'Lo and KC. Talk Kings basketball. There's a lot to talk about today, man. Obviously, with the Sacramento Kings, the game last night, the loss versus the Clippers, the game tonight at the Golden One Center against the New York Knicks. Lots of basketball to talk about. Get you caught up on all the standings. And, man, moves are being made in the NFL exactly 1 minute after we signed off on Friday. The Raiders acquired Geno Smith and signed Max Crosby. So a lot to talk about in the world of the NFL, which will be fun. As the show progresses, of course, James Hamm, final hour of the show.
You said something that I thought was spot on. And, like, you know, I asked to have honest conversations. Like, it's not – as much as I always say, hey, you can't blame the refs for a loss, there are times when their mistake leads to a loss. And you said something that was perfect, like, that I can't get past – even when I try to always say, hey, man, you know, there's other plays that you can make. You know, there's other things that you could have done outside of the refs or whatever. That DeMar foul, that was going to end the game.
Yeah.
That was going to end the game.
It was over.
Like, I know, like, you still had opportunity, all this other stuff. You were going to be up 5 with 48 seconds to go. The probability at that point had to be 97-plus percent. And
of course, I don't know what it was when you were up 7 with a minute 48 left.
Might have been 93. But that was going to be the win. Yeah. Like, that was the play that you needed. That was the momentum killer that you needed with them making that run right there. And to have that snatched away from you, once again, the killer of it all wasn't a missed call. It was called on the floor, and they decided to overturn it. And I'm going to need somebody, and this goes outside of the Kings and just in basketball and the way the NBA goes about things, I'm going to need somebody to always explain to me how hitting a shooter on the hand is not a foul. That's... Like, I don't understand that. If DeMar DeRozan was going to the lane, you know, we saw this. This was the infamous sleepless nights. Going to the lane and gets hit on the wrist going for a layup, that's supposed to be a foul. How, when somebody is shooting, you can hit their hand and hit their wrist and it's not considered a foul? That, like I said, it's not just for this particular moment. It's taught, like, hey, the whole high five thing. I said that a week ago. Stop the high five. Like, that's a foul. I don't care what people are talking about. I just don't. It feels like the people who came up with that rule never played basketball, because I don't understand how that's ever legal.
Yeah, I don't either. That sucks. Like, I don't know what to. There's no other, like, descriptor of that. You're 100% right. That was...
So the refs just don't think that that affected his shot in any way, because it's not like he hit his hand and got some of the basketball or anything like that. Like, the ball went... He got no part of... of the basketball, I guess. Like, I don't get how that's not a foul.
You know what else gets me is... I mean, there were fouls called in this game, too. It's not like it was a, you know, single-digit foul call game. Like, these teams went to the line. The longer it takes you to explain something... The more I think you don't believe what you're saying. Nah, he didn't. Nah, there's no foul on the play. Contact was marginal. Keep it moving. It took him 10 minutes. There was legitimately a point where he was talking, and I got confused, where I was like, what is he talking about right now? Did he foul him or not? And he just kept talking before he got to, yeah, so the call on the floor is overturned. And DeMar looking out there like, what?
That's crazy. That's crazy. I got a rule that they should implement in both football and in basketball. You challenge or whatever, you got a minute 30 to watch stuff. If you can't figure it out in a minute 30, you can't overturn it.
And you've got 6 seconds to explain it. If it takes you longer than 6 seconds, you're out of here.
Yeah, that's what
I think. The last 2 minute report comes out at 1. There's no chance in hell they acknowledged an overturned call was wrong.
No, not at all.
Absolutely. Because the amount of people you would be calling an idiot on that play or on that write up
correctly is what's going to be said. And then the other thing,
it's probably the same guy who overturned the call who's writing the last 2 minute report.
Right.
Same guy.
He's the one typing it up. And then the other thing, I've never. In all my time of watching basketball, had the whole shot clock thing happen. And it was incorrect. Like, it shouldn't have been reset. I'll say that. But a play went on and happened. A play happened. The result of the play happened. And then for them to, just by themselves, stop play and go review that, I've never seen that happen. I've seen when maybe it didn't hit the rim and it's reset, like immediately they said, whoa, 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 no, we need to check and see, like, was that a good reset or did it hit? Or like right then and there. I've never seen play continue, an outcome happen to a play, them stop it after the outcome and then say, we need to check that. That is...
Do they do that for goaltend sometimes?
No, I've never.
I'm trying to think if that's maybe the only one. Like, they'll do that on a 3-point shot too, but that's kind of different, I guess.
Yeah, because that's just like seeing if.
But they did pull out the stopwatch. That was wild. The way they did that
I've never seen that. I've never seen that. Like I said, they'll stop it as soon as the shot clock resets or whatever and be like, no, no, no. Like, we got to look at that. The play already happened. And once again, in my opinion, there's, and I'm glad they didn't overturn, you can't overturn that because the Kings did what they did after the reset based on the fact that the shot clock said what it said.
Right.
So if the shot clock would have been set correctly, they or kept winding down correctly, who knows? They would have taken a three earlier or something like that because they know the result already happened. You can't go back retroactively and say, hey, regardless of what their stopwatch said or not, like you can't overturn that because it was reset and they played according to the reset. That's not their fault. If it wasn't reset, maybe they would have shot it sooner or in time or whatever. I just thought that was crazy. And I'm not here to say it's a conspiracy theory against the Kings or for the Clippers. Ain't nobody setting the league for the Clippers. I just thought it was bogus. Absolutely bogus. I can't believe that happened. Can't believe that happened.
Mm-mm-mm. Talk about how Zach LaVine was playing. Your guy, man. It felt like he lived at the rim yesterday, particularly in the second half. Third quarter, like he, bro, was LaVine to the basket. LaVine to the basket. LaVine to the basket. Like he was, it looked effortless for Zach LaVine yesterday. And seeing him with that kind of command of the different, you call the three levels of scoring, was spectacular.
Yeah.
It was really good. I mean, he's been incredible. The last we've got to be up to what, like 6 or 7 games now.
Yeah, he's got all the goods, man. He's got all the goods, and this is like kind of the conversation that we have with Trista and just in general, like, and how we had it like maybe a couple weeks ago. It's like, does he know how good he could be? Does he really, really understand? And it's kind of late in the game at this point, but like you can do it all. You can dribble. You can get to the bucket. You can jump. You have the athleticism. You have the three-point shot. He can literally do it all. There was a stat before the game on Sunday about Zach LaVine and just what he's been doing. Let me see if I – because I responded to it real quick. My bad.
9 of 11 in the paint yesterday for Zach LaVine. Jeez, man.
Goodness gracious.
Stuff from Wilsey right there.
The guy was, he didn't have the jump shot going, and he lived in the paint last night. There was our girl, Tristy, and she pointed out over the last 6 games, including tonight, this was after the Spurs game, Zach LaVine is shooting 60.2 from the field, 62.2 from beyond the arc.
Man.
And she didn't have it here, but I just assumed because I know what he's been doing. He's 90% plus from the free throw line.
That's how many games now?
That was six before last night.
Before last night.
I mean, come on, man. 60, 60, 90?
Well, that 60 might drop because he was 1 of 7 last night from 3. So we said, Will said he was 9 of 11 in the paint, which means he was 3 of 11 from everywhere else.
Yeah, man. He's got everything. He has literally everything. And like I said, he's not like a young guy. Actually, I'm sorry, air horned.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
30th birthday. Yeah. So it's not like he's this super prospect. He is who he is. And I say that hesitantly because he's elevated his game. Like this year is the best year of his career. Like or most efficient year of his career. So maybe there is room for him to improve in certain areas, but he's unbelievable. He is unbelievable as an offensive player. And, he's been as advertised and a little bit better for me.
Yeah. And DeMar found a way, to be productive scoring as well. Those two guys were not as efficient from outside of the paint yesterday as normal. But DeMar got to the line 12 times. And again, you talk about the game ending on that, potentially ending on that foul call. He was 12 of 12 from the line. Mm. I mean, he's not 100% free throw shooter on the season, but you're feeling pretty good in that moment that DeMar can put this game away for you.
Right.
If you're Sacramento with 40-something seconds left. There's going to be moments, man. There's going to be moments that you can point to. And with all that said, you know, you go those final couple minutes without scoring, and you still have an overtime that puts you in position to win that game. Yeah, guys out there hitting really tough shots in that extra 5-minute period that just resulted in a Kawhi Leonard moment, man.
Yeah, and it's just the literal definition of a game of inches, a game of bounces. We saw it in real time last night because Zach LaVine's game winner in regulation was inside the rim.
Mm.
Hit the rim,
yeah.
Took a bounce one way, and the bounce didn't go your way. Kawhi Leonard, just 5 game minutes later, has another one. It wasn't like it was a perfect swish. It hit the rim, took a bounce, and fell.
Took
in.
A nap.
Yeah.
Grabbed a soda, a Fanta. And then went in.
An orange one.
Toasted it to Jesse. Cheers, bro. Buckets.
It fell in. And, man, unfortunately, that's the way things go sometimes, man. So, the Kings got to find a way to get ready to play a game tonight. And I know the Knicks don't have Jalen Brunson, but they're still a dangerous team. Cat's going to be there. OG, Mikal. All those guys, Josh Hart, who gives the Kings fits, is going to be there. Shamit went to work on him in that first game. So they're going to have to shake it off. They're going to have to shake it off and get ready to get a win tonight because they need this win tonight. They need this win tonight. I thought you laid it out perfectly last week, and we'll talk about it a little bit today. Is you said they need two of these next three.
Yeah.
And at the time, we were talking about the Clippers game. So between Clippers, Knicks, Warriors, you've got to find a way to win two of them.
My main feeling was, with the idea of two of three, with all due respect to the injured New York Knicks, is you needed to find a way to beat one of the Clippers or Warriors. Mm-hmm. Losing to them, you've probably solidified a play-in spot. And, you know, you got to continue to win games, but you probably have taken yourself out of the six a little bit. And you're going to have to work really hard now because the next goal to me is if you can't get to six, and the Warriors are playing really, really well. If you can't get to six, you got to land at that 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Don't be put in a position to have to win two play-in games again. Try to get to 7 or 8. Now you have two opportunities to win one game.
Yeah. And that loss yesterday, that's another thing that kind of frustrates me with that loss and like kind of has me a little leery of what can happen moving forward is, man, the 8 is looking tough right now. A lot of basketball left to play. But I look at the Clippers schedule that doesn't look, you know, too difficult. Kings are playing the hardest stretch of games of the season for them probably. And, yeah, I don't know. You're a game and a half back of 8, but essentially, like, you're 2 because you don't have the tiebreaker. You're going to have to jump the Clippers to get 8. It's just looking tough. It's looking tough to get into that 7-8 spot. And now the question I've kind of turned to is this team is playing good. The Kings are playing really well. You've got DeMar playing well. You got LaVine playing well. Valanciunas with another good game. Monk and Sabonis should be coming back, hopefully, you know, in a week or so. Is this team – what's the confidence level of this team winning 2 games? I know just in theory, like, that's difficult. But this particular team, you think they can beat a Suns team and then go on the road and beat the Clippers?
It feels
like
do you feel they can? Like 2 weeks ago, we probably didn't feel that way about this team.
Yeah.
But we've seen them play and get better. Like, do people feel a little bit better about their chances the way they've been playing as of late?
At this point, it kind of feels 50-50. Like, I'd say, like we don't know, but I know they can get the Suns or the Mavs. I'm not too worried about that one. Mm-hmm. But, like,
this team is playing well.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, they're not playing bad or anything. Like, this might have just a little bit far back to get to 6 and all that. But
if they continue to play like this, regardless of where they land, be it, you know, 6, 7, or be it 7, 8, or 9, I feel like if they continue to play like this, you'll feel confident in them. Mm-hmm. You won't feel great. You know, it'd be better to just have to win one game. But could you have some confidence going into that? Sure, you could.
I feel a lot better if it was Suns, Mavs, and then the Wolves rather than the Clippers, I think. I think they can get the Wolves.
See, I feel a little bit better about the Clippers. I think they can beat the Clippers.
I don't think there's a team in this mix that they can't beat.
Yeah.
I don't.
For me, it's just avoiding Kawhi and, can't believe I'm going to say it, James Harden in a play-in scenario. Yeah. Just guys who have been their vets.
Yeah, that's understandable. Like, to be honest with you, I'm not I guess it's just my Achilles heel for the entire season. I'm not crazy confident about the Suns in a one-game setting.
Oh, absolutely.
Kevin Durant, Devin Booker.
Oh, you're talking about you're not crazy about the Kings beating them. Yeah, oh, of course.
In a one-game, playing those games, those guys for one game?
Yeah, but, like, if you get to that point in the season, how much of the vibes is already, all right, 1-2-3 Cancun. That'd be for KD, but, like, it's already just you've dealt with so much, I don't know if I want to use turmoil, but just, all right, but now we're at the end. So it's
that's
finally over.
That's an interesting point, though, the, you know, pour one out for KD. Like, Kawhi will be at the end of I said Kawhi. KD will be at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but his time with the Suns is ending.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know, maybe it's one more hurrah type thing.
Right. Well, and that's kind of, I'll flip that a little bit too, is they could be looking at it as we're the 10 seed or whatever. After all that happened, we got to beat the Kings and the Clippers and we'll be in the playoffs. And I'll go into the playoffs with Durant, Booker, all these other guys. They could be looking at it that way.
I see that. But I think I lean just more towards vibes and that stuff kind of just, that never works with those kind of teams, I feel.
And even saying that, I don't think they'll like win a series if they got there.
Yeah.
We talking about one game where KD, you know, him and Booker, I think they're, you know, ultimate competitors.
Mm-hmm.
So you get them in a situation like that, they're going to be like, come on, we here, let's win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
KD's the type of, let's just go out with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think KD will roll over. But I do wonder. I thought Keegan was really good yesterday.
He was.
We talked about his defense and, you know, he was terrific on the final play. It's just, you know, maybe we've allowed ourselves to forget, like, Kawhi is one of them guys. And James Harden was kind of carrying the Your boy, James Harden, was carrying the offensive boy.
Does anyone want to apologize?
My boy. Well, that's the question that needs to be asked. But he ain't my boy.
He don't need to be asked. Nobody. he carried the offensive load for him. I was surprised it was Kawhi with the ball in his hands like that.
Yeah.
Because, there comes a certain point as the play is developing that it's not a play. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they're not running something for James.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi's going to do this.
Mm.
And he... There was a fleeting moment where I was like, is he going to dribble the clock out? He starts to make the move, and I'm like, he's going to run out of time before he gets into his shot.
Yeah.
And he turns, and it's like, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay.
Man.
Heartbreak
Hotel.
Yeah.
Heartbreak,
but anyways, Hotel. Keegan defended that play. Keegan defended that play well.
He defended him well all night. Keegan has been really, really good since the All-Star break. And to be honest with you, this is where you kind of tip your hat a little bit. All these guys have been really good since that conversation.
Yeah.
Whatever was said in that conversation may have resonated with those guys in the starting lineup because they've played great basketball since that moment. And Keegan's part of that, man. He's been really good, really good. This is the Keegan Murray that we expected coming into the season, and that has everybody so excited, you know, when they see him play, because this guy has been a two-way threat. You know what I mean? He's been a guy that on both sides of the basketball is a force, and hopefully this is just like who he is now, not just a run.
You know what I mean? Being aggressive on the offensive end and on defense. And once again,
he was talking a little bit last night.
He was talking a little bit. He was talking a little bit on Friday.
He locked up James Harden on one player in the fourth, and it looked like he locked him up, and it looked like he wanted to smile or just kind of show some emotion. He's like, "No, I'm not allowed." Like someone's telling him, "You're not allowed to, Keegan. You can't do that." It's like, "It's all right, bro." Like yell or something.
He hit that three, and I think Katie Christensen pointed out him looking at the bench. Mm-hmm. Someone did the as he took the shot. And Keegan hits the three and looks right at him. Like, I don't think his facial expression changed, but he looked at him.
Yeah, that look alone is just like he could have that same monotone facial expression, but just the look.
That makes it even better.
Yeah, it was like, oh.
Would you see the video of him trash talking Fox? Talking about go get your rookie? Like, he says it in the most monotone, no emotion at all. Just go get your rookie, Fox.
On Friday night. Yeah, man. So. He's been really good, man. He's been really good. I love seeing this from Keegan, and it also helps that he one of the things we talk about, like he's been on better matchups. I feel, you know, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, those are guys that he's better defending than a CJ McCollum, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like the smaller ones or twos, like that's a tough cover for him. That's a tough ask. But you get him on threes and fours, and he's got the foot speed to keep up with those guys and the size and length as well. So he's been doing a great job.
All right, there's a lot more to talk about as it pertains to the Kings. We should point out Malik is now officially day-to-day. That was a part of the plan. He was going to be ruled out yesterday, which he was. He is beginning the process of being day-to-day today. Domas has already been ruled out for tonight. He, I believe, let me pull up the Kings notice here, that he begins the process of being day-to-day tomorrow. Both of those guys had individual workouts yesterday. Let me make sure I got the Sabonis stuff right. Sabonis is making progress in the return to play. He has been cleared for on-court activity, completed an individual workout. He'll be out for the next two games and reevaluated on March 11th. Okay, I'm sorry. So he was out last night because this went out last night. He was out the Clippers game. He'll be out tonight's game versus the New York Knicks with the hopes of returning on Wednesday, it appears.
So they're counting, when they say next two games, they're counting Clippers-Knicks.
Correct.
He'll look for the Warriors game on Thursday.
He'll get reevaluated tomorrow. Gotcha. Again, he had an individual workout yesterday. I'm sure that will continue here today. And they'll give him a look tomorrow to see how he's doing, and I'm guessing that begins the process of being day to day, similar to what Malik Monk is right now.
Mm-hmm. All right,
we'll come back. Go back to Friday. I want to talk a little Devin Carter. We're pretty hard on Devin Carter. He looked good yesterday, so I want to make sure we show him some love when he plays well. And then we'll talk about the De'Aaron Fox game that is now behind us, and hopefully that whole story is behind us. So we'll come back. Stilo McCasey, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky's the limit. And the Wake Up Call is going to be out there tomorrow, Randomly Retro, doing their show live, their afternoon show live from 5 to 7, 32 Brew Street, if you want to go check them out.
I'll be in the building.
It's Sky River Casino.
I'm going to be in the building for a quick second.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Stilo McCasey on ESPN 1320. Man, KC was about to get professional.
We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about it. Mary J. Blige at the Golden One Center. And I got a thought. I want to know what you think about
this.
I didn't even realize this. People were disappointed with her performance at the Golden One Center. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fine.
I was one of them.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. It was cool. Like, I enjoyed it, singing along, all that other stuff. But I had the conversation afterwards about where she is in her career, and age-wise, and just the type of artist she is, she doesn't do like all this dancing and stuff. Like she does it on stage, but it's almost because like she has to, because she's in a 17,000 seat arena. Mm-hmm. I think that the artist she is, and age-wise, she's at a point where she doesn't need to be doing those arena shows anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to be in a little bit more of an intimate setting, so she can, if she wants to sit on a stool and sing or do something, like, she can do that. But her name still warrants a sold out $17,000 arena or 17,000 seat arena. Mm-hmm. So like in her predicament, it's like, I probably like the way I am as an artist and where I'm at right now, I probably don't need to be doing no arenas, but who am I to pass up an X amount of
dollars?
Well,
they come outside for her. Like they was there.
No, they do. They do. That's why you can't do a smaller venue.
Okay.
Cause like you'd be leaving money on the table. Like
Okay.
You can fill up 17,000. Yeah, yeah. So it's hard to say I'm not going to do 17,000.
And the production can be smaller. Like seeing, we saw Janet like the twice in 6 months. Once was at the venue. Mm-hmm. Once was at the Golden One Center. The Golden One Center, while the set list and music is essentially identical, the presentation of the set list is very, very different. Right. The venue had no costume changes, no set changes.
Right.
The Golden One Center did not have that.
Right.
Mary, like, was flying across the arena in the first couple of minutes of the show. She started on the other stage. Katie goes, is she going to come out on that stage? I was like, no. Yeah, right. And then all of a sudden, the crowd roars and everybody looks over there. It's like, oh, there she is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, that. My thought, and you've got a lot of knowledge on this, is with those arena shows, you have to have this element of entertainment there,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just your voice.
Pomp and circumstance. Yeah.
And that's not where she is.
You need to fly.
You got to. That's not.
Got to take the bird cage across the Golden One Center.
That isn't or shouldn't be who she is, an artist at this point in her career, and who she is. She's not no dance. She's not Janet. Like, she's never been this like super dancer type person. But that's what it warrants.
No, that is how she started.
Well, she did.
Go, Mary.
Well, no, that's the
go, one. Mary.
That's what go, I saw. Mary. That I said I could go home now. That's all I wanted to see, and
you
I
got
wanted
it.
To say go, Mary. That's what I wanted to see.
You got it.
So. Yeah, she probably should be doing like the venue,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even something smaller. But
Vegas,
you'd be passing up millions of dollars to go to the.
Yeah, the tour is there. I mean, Neil was great. I missed Mario.
I did too. They didn't waste no time.
No, they must have started at 7,
and got like, him off at 7:20.
Yeah, we got there at 7:35, and like I saw someone coming out on the stage. I was like, oh, okay, and I'm like, oh, that's Neo. I just kept thinking, these hoes really started at like 7. All right. So I was happy I got to see all of Neo because he killed it.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I did want to see Mario, but.
I did too. I thought I'd have to. I got there 7:30 or so. Like, I thought I was going to see.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in and I hear Let Me Love You. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know the DJ ain't playing that. He's performing now. And my cousin was like, yeah, he's.
Yeah, the whole family. How did the whole family was in the section?
People were, you know, got a couple of other tickets, and then the family had gotten their tickets. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it,
I was in the Caraway section. I was like, oh,
one of the things. Well, I've got two tickets from two different places, so it was like, oh yeah, I got a ticket, and then as I was driving up to the Golden One Center. I remembered for the first time, or it dawned on me for the first time, I didn't get these tickets from the same people. They might not be in the same place. And sure enough, I go there like, yep, they're not in the same place.
Mm.
These were here and these were way over there.
Mm.
So that was what had people flustered for the most part. And because I didn't even think about it until literally I was driving up. I was like, wait a minute. I ain't get this from the same place.
My man Kenny was going through it. Boy, my brother walked in. I was like, hey. Oh, my man. Okay. Move. Scoot down. Let's sit down. Just look ahead.
So, you know, we scour. That's one of my talents. I just scour what's going on.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Was like,
you do. Of course I can.
A lot of people here not to be in this road. You might come on down.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to move. I don't know, but I'm going to take my chances. Y'all come on down to this row right here. And that's what ended up happening. So,
well, that's good.
I saw Star eventually.
Oh, did you? Did you?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see her, but I saw her from a distance. I was like, oh, there they go right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's who I was
thinking. Yeah, no, it's funny. I was so we go to get a drink and. Hey, I know you. And I think she's talking to Katie from the wake up. And she's like, no, you. Me. She goes, yes, this is D-Lo from 102.5. And she goes, yeah. You work with Kenny. And I'm like, God damn it. You guys think this is a bit. This is real.
No, this is different.
This is a shoot.
No, yeah, you're Jannetty. It's fine.
It is what it is. I'm absolutely Martin.
No, Kenny, come on.
This is different. I know them. I went to school with them. We were in the same class. That's where that comes from.
I was like, well, I don't know. I don't really introduce myself to someone and be like, hey, we're so-and-so. Like, I'm here talking to you.
No, those aren't just random people. Those are my people. So that's
how she knew me. I was like, well, Kenny's here. Oh, is he? I was like, yeah, he's right down there.
Yeah, so I was like,
for a brief moment, I was here. Because she said D-Lo from 102.5. I was here.
Well, she still know D-Lo.
Because she knows Kenny.
Yeah, because the and KC part.
But she still knows D-Lo. She know who you are.
Have you ever been kicked repeatedly in the balls? Because that's what it's like. Anytime.
Can't say I have, but
yeah, well,
I'm going to take your word for it, pal.
It's like this. It's like this.
But yeah, I saw them, and I was like, yeah, I think I know that when you were telling me. And then I saw them scurrying across the concourse as we were going out. I didn't get a chance to speak to them, but I was like, that star right there. You know?
Okay. So just in case, Katie says sorry. Jazz, if you're listening, she didn't know. She didn't know. She thought Jazz was going to murder me. I was like, no, it's okay. She's not. No, she thought Jasmine was going to kill me at the Golden 1 Center.
Whatever.
She said she's not.
Jazz came in a little hot. And so she's hugging and, you know, not me. And then everyone sits. And it's like, we're aware something is off.
Yeah,
so we're just so sick of love song. We're minding our business. It's just
the way it's got to go.
Look ahead and sing. And a couple, you know, Kenny's like right next to us. Like directly next to us. Look ahead. Do not make eye contact, which she can't do. She leans over and says something to Kenny. And then a few minutes later, Kenny and Jazz get up and move, and they move like they're still in the vicinity within earshot, but they're like a row or two in front of us.
That was the time where I was trying to accommodate like seven people, and I was like, let's take this chance.
So Neo wraps up, and so we're just sitting here talking, and Jazz walks, so she's in front of me, and there's a row in front of us, there's people sitting there, and then there's me.
No, there is. That's the funny part.
And Jazz looks at me and goes, you know, this is the second show in a row you haven't said hi to me. I was like, well, I'm gonna be honest, you looked a little upset when you got here. So I'm just minding my business. She was like, no, you speak to me and we embrace when I get here. I was like, no, you're right. And Katie's sitting next to me like, oh, no, she can't talk to you like that. And I'm like, oh, no, she's kidding. And I did it just kind of like that. Like, no, she's just kidding. It's like, no, she can't talk to you like that. I was like, oh, no. Okay, now I'm recognizing. No. She's really not serious. She's kidding. But we can't hug or high five or do anything because she's a row in front of us.
The aunties in front of us are just watching the show. And what I mean, the show, us.
Yeah, right. So like, I'm like, no, it's fine. We part ways. Mm-mm. And I'm like, no. I promise, like, it's fine. A couple minutes later, I look over. Jasmine goes, I'm going to call you. Jasmine calls. She was like, hey, you know I was kidding, right? I was like, yes, I know you were kidding. I think she now knows you were kidding. She goes, oh, are you sure? I was like, Jazz, it's fine. Like, I'm good. So an hour passes, 2 hours pass. She goes, Katie goes, do I need to go apologize to Kenny's wife? I was like, no, it's fine. Like, I promise. Like, it's cool. Another hour passes. I really think I should apologize to Kenny's wife. Then we wound up leaving early because we went to the, this was fun too. We went to the Roost. You ever been to the Roost?
Sounds familiar. Where's
it? It's a speakeasy hidden inside Bach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
So you got to have reservations to get in there. My boy Io was celebrating out there.
Okay.
It was a celebration for two, but we were invited last minute as a surprise for Io.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we get there. We're minutes ahead of them because we left the arena. Hey, we're here.
Yeah, just left Mary. That's yeah, I'm gonna tell Mary when I see
that's
her.
That's fine.
I'm
tell Monet. You ain't gonna see her.
I'm gonna tell Monet. She gonna get you.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.